friends, and welcome to this Martin Luther King Day broadcast. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation here in the Sweet James Studios, live from our undisclosed location deep behind the orange curtain. I'm really happy to be back. As per usual, as soon as I leave town, things happen. Most notably, a phrase now immortalized in the annals. I got to be careful how I pronounce that word, in the annals of our political history. Now, before I get to that, what am I referring to? The Trump comment. I got to get to it. I wasn't here at the end of last week. I am so sorry about that. I raced back from Utah today to be sure to be at least here now to catch up properly before this week gets underway. Yes, I will address the Trump comments in a minute. About Martin Luther King, one very interesting thing. There is a piece in The Intercept that came out early this morning by Zaid Jilani. And it talks about back in 1999, the Gallup organization, the Gallup poll, you know who they are, the pollsters. They did a poll, a nationwide poll here in the United States to figure out who were the most, popular, respected figures of the 20th century. So 99 being the last year of the 20th century, then went to figure out, hey, who are the people that Americans most respect? Now, first place, Mother Teresa. But she was fairly closely followed by Martin Luther King. So Mother Teresa, 49%. Martin Luther King ranked second with 34%. But the fascinating thing about it, as noted in this piece, is that in his lifetime, King did not enjoy this kind of popularity. 1966, rolling back the clock, 63% of Americans held a negative view of the civil rights leader, while just 32% held a positive one. Now, this, a lot of people don't realize this because MLK has been lionized. He's a hero. And rightly so. Because the America that he lived in the 1960s is not the America we live in today. And thank goodness, because the type of racial discrimination that existed at that time was, simply put, unacceptable. And I would add one more thing. I think I'm an American. So this put aside, the reason his popularity was so low back then had actually little to do with the civil rights movement, as it had him speak, and it was because he spoke out in a prominent speech at Riverside Church back in 67. He spoke out about, and this was actually even a year after this poll took place, so his popularity plummeted even more so after he gave the speech denouncing Vietnam. And a lot of people don't realize this, that Martin Luther King went ultimately full throttle against Vietnam. And Vietnam, when you look back at it, and I think a lot of people acknowledge, absolutely was a waste of a conflict. It was a waste of a war. And he spoke out against it, and everybody turned on him. The New York Times, our favorite publication, the paper of record for every liberal moron out there, the New York Times editorial board lambasted King for linking the war in Vietnam to the struggles of civil rights and poverty alleviation in the United States, calling it a too facile of a connection, and that he was doing a disservice to both causes. Fascinating stuff. Now, why am I bringing this all up? Okay, good question. When you are ahead of your time, and when you're not going with the flow of mainstream thought, especially in politics, you ain't going to be popular. And the disruptors in the history of the world rarely were. When we go back and we think of the greats, many of them were not greats in their lifetime. This is true. And by the way, this is not just true for philosophers, for politicians. It's true for artists as well. Sometimes the most beautiful paintings, the most coveted pieces of art, Van Gogh, a little canvas with some color on it, little sloppy dabs of color $52, $60 million. The guy was so poor he couldn't buy bread, more or less. I mean, he was a poor guy. Never achieved any fame in his life. So I bring this up because when we examine any political issue in our day, current event, you have to ask yourself, are you one of the shrill sheep voices out there that are just parroting everything you hear out there, or are you giving it your own critical thought? And let me ask you one more thing. This is very important. Are you just saying and thinking what you're saying and thinking because everyone else is, and that's where it's safe to be? Or are you willing to take the risk of going against the flow? Earlier today, I just saw a car with a Trump sticker. I couldn't believe it. I mean, even here, safely nestled behind the orange curtain, that is a rare sighting. So a person who does not go with the flow was driving that Toyota Corolla or whatever it was. So these comments here, this, well, I cannot say the word. I know CNN is saying the word. They are saying what Trump purportedly said in the meeting with Senate and House leadership. They are repeating it. They're putting it on the chyron, you know, the banner that runs. You're watching, anytime you're watching a news show, there's a banner underneath the screen with the topics or whoever is speaking. That's called the chyron. They're actually running the word. CNN is, they are full in. It's unbelievable stuff. I couldn't believe my eyes. Over the weekend, I'm watching it, and there it is on CNN. So the word that we are going to use here today is poo hole. And if you so wish, look, for those of you with that are maybe a little more Latin inclined, I'm spelling it P-U-J-O-L. Just trying to make it easy. Phonetic. So Trump purportedly said in a meeting with Senate and House leadership that he doesn't want immigrants from poo hole countries. And he was purportedly speaking about specifically Haiti and places in countries in Africa. Now, all hell, as you know, all hell broke loose. And when I heard this, and I heard his subsequent denials, I'll tell you what I think. Number one, I'm guessing he said it. It sure sounds like Trump to me. But the second thing is, I am at a total and complete loss as to understand how what he said is vile, racist, horrible, et cetera, et cetera. In fact, let me read to you. Senator Dick Durbin, Friday, just ripped Trump apart. And now he's the one who went out and said, he's the one who spilled the story, right? He's in this closed door meeting with the president, with Republicans, Democrats, and he's the one who goes out there and says, this is what Trump said. He called it hate-filled, vile, and racist language. Now, here's something very important. If there was anything worse than poo hole countries, we would know about it, right? I mean, I'm going to go on a limb here and say that if Trump said something even worse, if he had used the N-word, if he had disparaged, made fun of people specifically for their race or something like that, we would hear all about it. So here the smoking gun, as best as I can tell, is that he said that Haiti is a poo hole country. And he said that countries in Africa are poo hole countries. Now, I got a question for you. Aren't they? In all seriousness, this is what I'm missing. I don't even get it. Number one. Number two, a number of people, and I'll give you, the criticisms on the right. Lindsey Graham went all out, said, look, I've condemned Trump. I've told Trump what I thought in private right then and there. I gave him a piece of my mind, and this is not who we are. He released a statement. The president and all those attending the meeting know what I said and how I feel. I've always believed that America is an idea not defined by its people, but by its ideals. Well, I don't disagree with that, but the point of it being, it's a condemnation of Trump. And yet, for example, and this is over and over again, people that are going on the record denouncing Trump have said to some variation exactly the same thing. There's a recognition, for example, that when we're dealing with immigration, let's say from Mexico, Central America, South America, what do we have? We have countries that simply, well, why are we so desirable? Why do immigrants want to come here? It's because their countries are poo holes. That's what immigration is about. It's not a lateral move. Who are we kidding? Who makes a lateral move? I mean, occasionally, you know, a company moves from country X to country Y and takes with it some jobs. But that's not like why people move from, I don't know, from Texas to Wisconsin or from Wisconsin to Illinois. It's not like that. People move, and I say this as the son of immigrants who escaped, who left a, I'm going to tell you right now, Holland, I'm not going to be racist against Holland here, but at the time that my parents left Holland in the 70s, Holland was not a great place. It lacked a lot of opportunities, and it certainly, even going to Carter's America was an enormous step up. Why do you think my parents came here? It was not because they just wanted another nice country to live in. They wanted the best. And I will say one more thing. There's absolutely nothing wrong with recognizing that we are the best, that we are desired, and that countries that this country is better than other countries. This is why liberals are melting down, because they're ingrained from the time they go to their Ivy League schools. They're taught by professors that we suck, that America stinks, that we're terrible, that we've done nothing but destroy the world, that we owe everyone apologies, and that no culture is better than another one. Oh, sure. Okay. They have slavery in Africa still. What do we... Genital mutilation? Anybody? I mean, these are things that happen in African countries. Zimbabwe? You think Zimbabwe is a great, you know, bumping place that's on par with us? They have trillion-dollar banknotes that are worth about, you know, one penny. I really think that for a lot of people out there, they have not traveled. They have not been outside of their immediate bubble. They have no idea. But most importantly, anything that Trump says, I mean anything, is immediately raised to the shrillest, most extreme condemnation level. Great example of this. Listen to what Lindsey Graham said. This is not even that long ago. Lindsey Graham, back in 2013, in a debate with the Senate Judiciary Committee, this is what he said about Mexico. And by the way, this is a guy who's condemning Trump's comments. Listen to what Lindsey Graham himself said. What is this, 5 years ago? Listen.
The tale of two borders. Why is one a problem and the other's not? Because Canada is a place where people like to stay. They like Canada. We like Canada. We love to have them visit. They want to go home because it's a nice place. The people coming across the southern border live in hell holes. They don't like that. They want to come here. Our problem is we can't have everybody in the world who lives in a hell hole coming to America. So you got to do something in the southern border you don't do in the northern border. There are 11 million people coming through the southern border because they come from countries where they can't find work and life is miserable.
There it is. Life is miserable. People live in hellholes, and we can't have everybody from a hellhole come into our country just because they think it's great. What does he mean by this? He means we have to have an immigration policy. This is... It's just this is trust me, everybody else there's so much good stuff out there. I mean, we don't even have time enough to cover it. Of people who have said similar things in moments of honesty who are now baying for Trump's head. And I don't get it. And neither do you really, truly. When you look at it, it makes no sense. Now, I'm going to tell you one other thing here that's very important. what Durbin did, what the Democrats did, was really, really bad for them. Because you know what I've gleaned from this entire news story? That you had the president of the United States engaged with both houses of Congress to work out a deal. He was in it. He was talking to them. He was being candid. He was expressing what he wanted in the deal. But he had them in the room. This is, you know, when we come back, I'll explain why the Democrats shot themselves in the foot. Because this, now there's no place for them to go. They've burned a bridge. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
News, talk, evolve. 790 KBC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC. The phone number, 800-222-5222, sam@samnation.com is my email. Let me insert some common sense into this Trump comments about Haiti and Africa debate. What I am encouraged by, something that isn't being talked about at all in this news story, is that the setting where the comments were made was remarkable. During the Obama presidency, this is very important. Obama was notorious for not wanting to engage with Congress. He was aloof. This is why, by the way, this is an undisputed fact. I mean, Democratic leadership would even, you know, make snide comments about this. This is why Obama didn't get very much done through Congress. He used executive actions quite a bit. So, but the critical component of it was he didn't like to really do the whole deal thing with congressional leadership. He didn't like haggling with them. He just was above it. It was not his thing. He's an intellectual guy, but not a hand presser kind of person. Trump is different. Trump is, if you think that he's Satan, that's fine, but Trump is the guy who actually put Democrats and Republicans in the room and said, let's figure this out. And what he was doing, look, what he was doing was he was telling them what he wanted, and he was specifically telling them what he doesn't want. Of course the Democrats want a ton of poor immigrants here. Of course they want a bunch of uneducated, from people that are from countries that... Open the borders. Let everybody in. But these countries have problems. And by the way, he wasn't disparaging the people from those countries, he's disparaging their countries. It's an important distinction. But the Democrats made a terrible miscalculation here, specifically Durbin, when he went public with this. You don't do it. If you actually want to get stuff done, you've got to put together the people who can make it happen. And when it comes to legislation, you need the House, you need the Senate, and ultimately you need the president's signature. Those are the three parties. When you put those three parties in the room, you can make a lot of progress. So what it tells me, by going public with this and derailing the process, basically ruining the trust from having a closed door off the record meeting, tells me one of two things. One, either they inadvertently screwed the pooch, right, and let this thing out and destroyed that. Because now Trump, imagine you're Trump. You're having a private meeting where you want to get things done. You're listening to what the Democrats want. You're responding. And they go out and they sabotage it. They open hellfire and everything else upon you. Do you want them back in the room? Are you going to continue dealing with them? No. Trump doesn't want to see Durbin. He's done. And it does create a problem. So it's either that or the other thing, which is the Democrats aren't serious about a deal. And this is what I think on this. I think the Democrats aren't serious one bit. The Democrats want to run a scorched earth campaign against Trump. And they're missing an opportunity because I don't think Trump is this crazy ideologue, for sure not a racist, but he's not an ideologue. He's not. And I don't think he really loves the Republicans any more than he loves the Democrats. The Democrats have an opportunity. They've got a Republican who'll actually work with them. And instead, they're lobbing one, grenade at him after another. And they think that running as the obstructionist resistance party is the way to go. And I am telling you right here and now, no bueno. Because all indicators in this country in 2 years, right, when we're going to be in the heat of the 2020 presidential race, the economy is going to be roaring. And the Democrats will have to figure out why this newfound prosperity brought to them by the president's policies is so bad and how they're going to twist that and explain to the American public why, well, I, you know, X, Y, and Z about Trump and how terrible he is, but explain to them why they need to change. And people don't like to make a change when things are good. So running this, you know, and that'll hurt. Trust me, conventional wisdom is that the Democrats are right now running away with everything, that they're doing great, that their electoral chances are never better. They've never been better. But I'm telling you, I don't think so. Not one bit. I think this, well, we'll see. All right. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. John Wolf up next with the news.
I got a dial tone.
If you'd like to make a call,
dial 800-222-5222 because the KABC phone lines are open.
Oh, welcome back. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. We're making radio great again. The voice of reason here, live in the Sweet James studios, deep behind the orange curtain. 800-222-5222 is the phone number, and sam@samnation.com is the email. Now, here's a taste of just some of the stuff that the media was out there saying about Trump in the last few days. I know, in case you missed it, my favorite, John King, talking to a writer from Bloomberg on racist Trump. This is CNN Inside Politics just yesterday. And this is after it emerged that Donald Trump said that some countries, including Haiti, are poo holes.
Several of his weekend tweets were efforts to change the subject. But one, just two words, America first, reminds us this president's first reflex is to curry favor with his anti-immigration nationalist base. His image of American first, we learned much more clearly in recent days, is an America that welcomes white immigrants from Norway, but not black immigrants or brown immigrants from places the president clearly thinks produce subpar humans. Which, I'm sorry, there is no other way to process this as the debate about whether the president of the United States, who's supposed to be setting an example, is racist or a race baiter or just has a horrible dark reflex.
Isn't it a white reflex? I mean, technically speaking. Look, this is exactly representative of most of the garbage that I have heard over the weekend. And now I was trying to enjoy myself with the kids. We were in Utah. We're doing a little bit of skiing. Not a lot of snow because of global warming, of course. And here I am just piecing together bits of this. And by the way, I was up there with some, liberals, yes. Privately, do you know what people are saying? You know what people are privately saying? They go, well, yeah, you know, everybody thinks that. This thing is going nowhere fast because at the end of the day, we recognize that when we go and visit Mexico, when we go and visit places in the Caribbean, we recognize that they're not places that we want to live. The most horrible and it's such a simple thing. I heard somebody ask, "Would you send the litmus test is your kid graduates from high school, your daughter, she's 17." She wants to take a year off and go backpacking somewhere in the world. Now, you're a parent. I'm a parent. I don't know. Maybe you have kids. My kids are not 17 yet, thank God. But when they are, and when my son or my two daughters say, "Daddy, I'm going to Haiti for 6 months," like hell you are, is going to be my answer. And you have to ask yourself, truly, be real. You think this is racist? Be honest with yourself. would you let your 17-year-old girl go to Zimbabwe? Maybe. I wouldn't. And I know a lot of liberals out there, and this is a conversation that I had with a number of people, some of them you would know, who said exactly that. But they're saying it privately. When I look at their Twitter feeds, and I look at their Facebooks, and I look at all this, oh, racist, Trump, horrible, bigoted person, blah, 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 blah. And that is what I'm talking about. We are living in this crazy, you know, lemmings echo chamber where everybody is following and going in one direction without giving it any thought, because that is what you're expected to do. And I'm sorry. I'm out. I'm not interested in that. You know that. That's why you listen to this program. I don't just go for something because it's the way to do it. And I, well, look, today's Martin Luther King Day. And I'll say this, you know, when we talk about all these different cultures being the same and being equal, you know, this is what we learn in colleges. We learn that, well, you know, Haiti's no different. Their culture's not inferior to ours. Their economy's not, we're just different. But if that's true, was the America of 1966 or 1968, did it not have any room for improvement? What if we said that, you know, hey, I mean, this is all, we're all just relative. Everything's fine. You know, I mean, that we, you know, our problems here and our discrimination and everything that we did wrong. Saying we're incapable of moving beyond that, incapable of improving. It's food for thought. Sam Rachofsky, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rachofsky here. So the other day I'm driving in the car and I look over and there is a guy actually driving on the 405 and he's smoking a bong. I think I mentioned this to you once or twice before. I still can't get the picture out of my mind. And the reason I'm bringing it up now is it's people like him that make you need sweet James Bergner. Okay, this is the attorney. You just keep his number handy in your back pocket, 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. You want to call James and his people if you've been hurt in an accident. There's idiots like that out on the road. And if you, well, anyway, impaired driving, I think, is the technical term for it. Don't let that impaired driver ruin your day, and especially don't let that impaired driver's insurance company ruin your day, okay? Don't deal with them. Don't try to do it on your own. James and his firm have collected over $400 million for his clients over the last decade plus. They're great. They answer the phones. They talk to you. They're real people, okay? And moreover, James will fight for you. He'll fight for every dime and make sure you get the justice that you deserve. 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. All consultations are free. Don't wait. Give him a call. And also, he's got a website, sweetjames.com. Sam Rachofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Do you know that there's a traveler that was arrested for wearing too many clothes at the airport? There's a guy named Ryan Williams. He goes by the name of Ryan Hawaii, which I don't know exactly what the story is. They're probably a little bit loony. He didn't want to pay for extra luggage. You know what this is? You show up at the airport and you don't want to pay the extra bag fee or whatever it is. No, it's gotten ridiculous. They charge you fees for everything. Ryanair in Europe wanted to charge people to use the bathroom. Regulators said you can't do that. So anyway, this guy wants to get away, get past the fee. You know, he thinks he's going to game the system. So he shows up at the airport wearing 10 pairs of pants and like 8 pairs of shirts. He looked on top, at least. He looked like Steve Bannon. There was some kind of conflict that arose, and he ended up getting briefly detained, was eventually allowed to travel on to England, his destination. This is funny. I like when people do clever things like this to try to game the system. And it pisses the authorities off. Trust me, this is part of it. I mean, haha, I'll show you to pay your stupid extra bag fee. Look at me. But, you know, I think in this age of airport security, everybody's on edge. You got a guy that shows up dressed like the Michelin Man. You know, you're going to have a problem. So there it is. Don't try that at home. All right. More on Trump the racist. Apparently, back in the days of being a private citizen, Trump actually gave a significant amount of money to help a charitable cause in Haiti. This is interesting stuff. Rand Paul, talking on MSNBC with Chuck Todd, Meet the Press, this was on Sunday, said this.
You know, I don't think the comments were constructive at all, but I also think that, to be fair, we shouldn't draw conclusions that he didn't intend. I know personally about his feelings towards Haiti and towards Central America because when I was not a candidate for president and he wasn't a candidate for president, I went down there on a medical mission trip. I did about 200 cataract surgeries with a group of surgeons in Haiti and the same in Central America. And when we asked Donald J. Trump as a private citizen to support those trips, he was a large financial backer of both medical mission trips. And I think it's unfair then to sort of all of a sudden paint him, oh, well, he's a racist, when I know for a fact that he cares very deeply about the people in Haiti because he helped to finance a trip where we were able to get vision back for 200 people in Haiti.
Yeah, Rand Paul, listen, you're wasting your breath. MSNBC doesn't want to hear that. They don't want to hear about actions. Ah, forget that. They want to hear about words. And that's, you know, this is the thing that really gets under my skin. You know, generally speaking, conservatives are more charitable than liberals. You know this, right? Liberals are very good at giving away other people's money. And conservatives are this is statistically. I mean, this is proven. They're the ones that step up. Well, let me tell you. I wonder how many of these liberals slamming Trump have given any significant amount of money or any money at all to Haiti or to a cause in Africa. If you care so much, do something. But no, you're all talk, you're all hot air, you all want to be heard and the sound of your voice, you all hate Trump, we get it, but there's absolutely zero substance to what you're saying, and I hope you can live with that. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC, back after this.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790 KABC.
I can't believe I have to dig up Jesse Jackson for this. This is how low we have to go. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Trump the racist. Have a listen to Jesse Jackson honoring Trump for a lifetime of service to African Americans. The comments are rambling, so we've selected just the little pertinent opening bit here. Listen closely.
I do want to express thanks to you, Donald Trump, for being with us tonight. We need your building skills, your gusto, your rent package for people on Wall Street who represent diversity. And we thank you for coming tonight. Let's give Donald Trump a big hand.
Racist! You racist pig! No, that wasn't there. Look, and he didn't suddenly become a racist in the last 4 years either, okay? This is what's so absurd. You cannot end the immigration debate or any debate by simply calling somebody a racist. I know it's a very popular trick or tactic that the left uses. But here is my opinion on immigration, and I know, look, this is where we need to go. We must pick the best of the best. We can't take them all, okay? Well, we have room physically, but we don't have room for everybody in our economy, right? That's what immigration is all about. We can incorporate a certain number of people, and we should pick the best of the best. The creme de la creme, and I'm not making a reference to their race. We want the best, and that is okay. There's nothing racist about that. Now, it could be that the best of the best, we've got some guy who's Oxford educated and he comes from Africa. Absolutely fine, of course. But we do not want to just take the underclass of these countries. That is what illegal immigration does. Well, I'll explain that easily. You know, I always talk about going to Mexico and how much I love it. When you go to Mexico City, okay, the elites, the middle class, those are not the people that are coming illegally to this country. It's the working class. It's the lower classes that are coming here because you know what? The economy over there is crap. And for them, it's really crap. Can I say poo hole? It's a poo hole. And they know it. That's why they're coming here. But we don't know who's coming in because we've got a wide open border and we're only getting the bottom tier. We want to be able to pick. And I endorse any plan right now that puts us in a position of selection. We want to select the best. And there's nothing racist about that. We want people who are educated. We want people who are contributing. We want people who are, I don't know, motivated to work. And not just come here, set up shop, and get on welfare. Not a good plan. All right, the Me Too movement. Boy, another, I know I talked about it last week before I left, but there's a great new, do you guys know who Aziz Ansari is? Comedian, the actor? He went on a date with a woman. That was a bad move. Should have been a man. Just kidding. No, he went on a date with a woman and she wrote an article about this. And this stuff, you cannot make this stuff up. I cannot wait to go to town on this. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stop with News. Talk. Evolve. Talk Radio 790. KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. All right. You know, I'll tell you a little bit about my trip here this last weekend. I took the kids up to Utah, Sherry, and actually the two dogs. The puppies went with us too. And I would think, you know, that I always hope that my kids are someday grateful for the trips I take them on and the time I spend with them and the cool things that we do. And I hope the puppies will be grateful, too. I didn't necessarily immediately pick up on their gratitude, given that in the hotel that I was staying at up in Park City, the dogs decided to eat the wallpaper off the bathroom wall. Well, the best question was they asked, well, are any portions of the wallpaper, do you have them, are they on the ground? Did you save them? Nope. They're consumed in their entirety. So that happened. They also, it just was bad timing to take them anywhere because, yeah, we're still in that, you know, potty training phase. And that's tough. The dogs, not the kids. The kids are all good in that department. But they did like the snow, but I'll tell you this about skiing. It's one of those things that, like anything that you do with your kids, if you can get some one-on-one time, it is amazing the great conversations that I had with them this weekend. So Sherry, if you remember, fell and broke her arm, so she's out for the season. No skiing for her. So I went out. I had an opportunity with the way it worked out is that I ended up skiing one day with Daniel, another day with Vera. And so you're up there and you just spend time with your kid. And suddenly you're talking, you're on the ski lift and no one else is around and it's quiet and wind is blowing and I'm finding out all sorts of things. I know now everything that is going on in his elementary school. It's pretty cool. So anyway, I didn't even have to waterboard him or anything. He just spilled the beans. And it really reminded me, even though I know this, and I know you know this, if you've got kids, you know you're supposed to talk to your kids. It's tough because a lot of the times that you spend with your children it's frantic and it's hectic and you're going all the time. I know certainly that's the way it is for me. So it doesn't have to be skiing. It can be just in the car and just turn the radio off and put the cell phone down, which you should be putting down anyway if you're driving. But talk and ask questions. Don't talk at your kid. ask them questions, and you'll be surprised. They'll talk to you. And the sooner you begin it, as I keep telling myself, he's 10 right now. If I don't thoroughly engage with him now, I'm gonna lose him as a teenager. I know it. So this is something I grapple with. I think about a lot. And this I had a great weekend in that department. So just wanted to share that with you. And to the management of the hotel, I am deeply sorry about the consumed wallpaper. All right. 1-800-222-5222 if you'd like to be on the program. Sam@samnation.com is the email. I am, as I mentioned last week, seeing signs of erosion of confidence that the left has in the hashtag Me Too movement. Hashtag Time's Up movement. You know, after the Oscars, you remember who's the other one? Oprah. Thank you. All right. Get those two confused all the time. So Oprah's up there and she's, you know, gives her moving speech. Everybody thinks she's amazing, you know. So is it the, what is it? The Golden Globes, right? And after party at the Golden Globes, all these Hollywood stars are out there and they've got their tuxedos on and their dresses and the women are wearing black. You know, they're these $25,000 gowns, but they're wearing black in solidarity with the hashtag Me Too and the hashtag, what's the other one? Time's Up. And I note that Aziz Ansari, the actor, the Master of None star, and he's been in a bunch of stuff. Really clever, talented guy. I think a liberal, hates Trump, you know, darling of the left. Anyway, he actually is at an after party there. He's got a Time's Up little lapel pin on. And he meets a young lady. Now, okay, let me frame this so you understand the story. Because this is all over right now. CNN and New York Times and a bunch of blogs. Everybody's talking about this. But it's, to me, this is sort of the canary in the mine. This is one of those stories that I think shows me that something's happening. And it's a good happening. So let me explain what I mean. Aziz Ansari is at this party, right? It's just after the Golden Globes. Everybody's excited. He's wearing a Time's Up and he meets a girl. And this girl starts chatting him up and he's chatting her up and da-da-da-da-da. And they, I don't know, they're find some common ground. You know, it's called flirting. Numbers are exchanged. And they agree, after a few textual exchanges, to meet up in Manhattan for a nice date. So the date happens. Let me tell you how the date happens. It is agreed. It is mutually agreed that the young woman will go to his apartment and then from there they will walk to a restaurant. Now, women, men, talk to me. If you don't want to hook up with a guy, do you meet them at their place at the start of the date? Missy's here in the studio. She, is shaking her head. And Missy, you're a woman. You've lived life. You know, if a guy says to you, "Hey, baby, come over to my place. We'll start at my place. And then we're going to go get a little bite. And then, you know where that's going to end up, right?" Anyway, so this happens. And then they go out to dinner and then they come back to the apartment. Things begin to happen. There is some sort of a sexual encounter. It is consensual. But it turns out that in the mind of the woman, it was not consensual. That she was giving nonverbal cues that he failed to pick up. She decides to write about this. And this is in babe.net? Is ridiculous. And it's turning into this expose. It's called an expose. What's the story? The actual story is, the New York Times today writes a piece, "Aziz Ansari is guilty of not being a mind reader." And it just tears to shreds this gal. What does it say? This is so good. Well, the gal apparently, after the date, sends a text message. "Last night might have been fun for you, but it wasn't for me," she responded to his text. He sends her the text the day after. This is a nice thing. You know, you go on a date. Maybe you have a little bit of fun. You write a text. You say, "Hey, I really enjoyed it. You're fun." You know, She responds, "Last night might have been fun for you, but it wasn't for me." And listen to this. And this is a direct quote from her text. This is the first time that Aziz Ansari has any idea that there's a problem. Quote, "You ignored clear nonverbal cues. You kept going with advances. You had to have noticed I was uncomfortable." Ladies and gentlemen, I rest my case. This is insane. Okay? I will say this as a married man. Men have been ignoring women's nonverbal cues for millennia. This is what men do. We're dumb, ladies. We are dumb. Men do not do nonverbal cues. And lady, to this Grace woman that wrote this piece for her 10 minutes of fame, I got to tell you something. Wait, did you take your pants off? I'm curious. I mean, what's a man supposed to? That's part of what happened here. I mean, she actually did take her pants off. And I as a man, if a gal's taking her pants off, where's this going? This isn't like an episode of Seinfeld where Kramer is, you know, taking his pants off and putting them in the oven to warm them. Okay. Well, if the woman agrees to meet you at your place, agrees to go to dinner with you, agrees then to come back, then willingly takes her pants off. What am I missing here? And that's where this nonsense, with everyone thinking that they're a violated victim, it's gone to such an extreme that even the New York Times is calling BS. And I've been predicting this. I've told you here now for several weeks that that since this whole hashtag MeToo thing started, that it was ripe for abuse and that it would eventually just turn into a farce. It didn't take long. We're there. Folks, we're there. And I'll say this until I'm hoarse. What a disservice to real victims out there. Condi Rice chimed in on this. You remember Condoleezza Rice, former Secretary of State. Her own doubts, this was on January 11th, Thursday last week. She was talking to CNN. Here's what she said about the Me Too movement.
"I do think we have to be a little bit careful. Let's not turn women into snowflakes. Let's not infantilize women. And what I really don't want to happen is I don't want it to get to a place that men start to think, well, maybe it's just better not to have women around. I've heard a little bit of that, and it worries me."
Absolutely. Let me address this. This was so absolutely spot on. Now, first of all, infantilize women. This woman here that wrote this piece, who claims that, you know, Aziz Ansari, how dare he not pick up on my verbal cues? Yes. She wants men to treat her like an infant, okay? I have a 4.5-year-old, should tell you that, by the way. Ava, are you 4? No, I'm 4.5. I don't treat her like a baby. She's grown up. And part of that is you talk and you speak up and you say what you want and you say what you don't want. That is part of growing the hell up, okay? That's part of becoming a adult. And you start that process, of course, much earlier when you're a child. You cannot go through life expecting that people are going to read your freaking mind. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way at work. It doesn't work that way at home. It doesn't work that way on dates. It doesn't work that way at the car dealership or wherever you go. You don't walk into Albertsons and go, and expect things to magically show up in your shopping cart. Hell, even with Alexa, you gotta say something, right? Alexa doesn't read your freaking mind. So So to that, Condoleezza Rice is spot on. But what she says in that second part, what I really don't want to happen is get to a place that men start to think, well, maybe it's better to just not have women around. Okay, ladies, you want to make strides in corporate America? Let me tell you what not to do. Me too. You cannot do this. Because I'm going to tell you right now what I am thinking as a manager, as a business owner. I'm terrified. If you want to turn every innocent, absolutely innocent, normal encounter into a hashtag Me Too moment, you're a liability. Do you want employers to think twice about hiring and promoting you as a woman for fear that you are a ticking time bomb, that you're a liability? By the way, you may think that's prohibited. You can't do that. You can't do that. There's laws against that. Oh, sure. Of course there are. And I don't, of course, and I'm letting you know that that's going to be a consequence here. Men will be terrified, male managers will be terrified of hiring women. And I've told you before, with a couple of specific exemptions that I don't want to forget about, you guys, but for the most part, all of our top management in our firm are women. And they're not in that position because they're women. They're in that position because they're the best damn people for the job, period. And I always go for the best person. But I know employers who, for example, are so terrified of a racial discrimination lawsuit that that actually drives a fear to be less diverse. Did you know that? And it's going to be the same thing with the Me Too movement. So you think you're being sold a bill of goods. Let me tell you, the left here thinks that they're doing, oh, this is, we're cleaning up. We're drawing a line in the sand. Never again. Right? But in fact, you guys are taking 10 steps backwards. It's not good. We really need to examine this, and it's happening because the New York Times is doing it. They're reevaluating it. They're mocking it. That's when you really know. By the way, that's when you really know you're losing traction. When a left wing rag like the New York Times is starting to mock your movement. Okay, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Yeah, I forgot to mention the best part in this piece. I went on a date with Aziz Ansari. It turned into the worst night of my life. This by Katie Way, writing for babe.net. If you've never heard of it, you're not missing anything. Anyway, the best part about the story is she whined about the wine. The girl in it, the Grace, quote unquote, we've changed her name to protect her identity. She apparently prefers red. Here's what she said. It was white. I didn't get to choose, and I prefer red, but it was white wine. So here is what the author, and then she goes on to say, of course, that every step of the way, right, she showed up to his apartment, she went to dinner with him, she goes back to his apartment, she begins to take her clothes off, he's naked, she, whatever, stuff is happening. But it wasn't consensual because he wasn't picking up on my nonverbal cues. Barry Weiss, who is a female, and a self-proclaimed feminist, writing on January the 15th today in the New York Times, says this. If you are hanging out naked with a man, it's safe to assume he's going to try to have sex with you. If the inability to choose a Pinot Noir over Pinot Grigio offends you, you can leave right then and there. If you don't like the way your date hustles through paying the check, you can say, I've had a lovely evening. I'm going home now. If you go home with him and discover he's a terrible kisser, she complained about that too, you can say, I'm out. If you start to hook up and don't like the way he smells or the way he talks or doesn't talk, end it. If he pressures you to do something you don't want to do, use a four-letter word, stand up on your own two legs, and walk out his door. That is what I'm going to teach my girls to do. I hope Vera and Ava are in bed, but if you're listening, someday your father will have a conversation with you about this. Stand up for yourself. Don't be a pushover. Don't be just a wallflower. I'm convinced that people walk into interactions, situations with others intent on being the victim. They're already pre-programmed. And do you know why? Because from the time that they first gained consciousness in this world, they have been told by their parents, by their teachers, by their professors, by every authority figure in their life, that victimhood is celebrated, that victimhood is a currency that is worth something. So when you grow up saying, oh, this victim over here, this group, this oppressed group, they're wonderful. Oh, please tell me more about how horrible you've been treated. What do? They go out in the world and they too want to be a victim. You know what? There's some real victims out there. Some real horrible people that are trotting around the world. And, as best as I can tell from this story, Aziz Ansari may be terrible when it comes to his political opinions, but certainly not didn't do anything wrong here, except he went out with a girl. He went out with the wrong girl. It turned out was, nuts. Oh, my goodness. I told you I was sharing stories. Daniel loves to hear old dating stories from me. So I shared some of them with him this weekend, and he just thought those were hilarious. And then, anyway, part of us talking. But I was reflecting on it afterwards, and it's scary. I would not want to be dating in this world. Robbie, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you have to do this. I'll do what I can for you. But you might want to check out those dolls. They're coming out with these robots, and I don't think they're... Until the AI gets really good and they pick up on the whole Me Too movement, there it is. All right, I just got a text from Sherry. She says, the kids are in bed, and she hopes this conversation is years away. All right, there you have it. Oh, this Hawaii false alarm, what do you think about it? I smell a rat. Let me explain. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. We've got John Wolf up next with the news.
The phone lines are open now.
Right now?
Right now.
At 800-ABC-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. 1-800-222-5222 is the phone number here. Sam@samnation.com is the email. Big scare in Hawaii. Somebody within the Hawaii Emergency Management Agency has one job to do, and that job is to push a button. The button triggers an automatic warning that shoots out a pre-programmed message to cell phones and on those billboards that you see around town on freeway overpasses and the like. Actually, there's probably several different buttons. They have the ones for, Amber Alert type warnings and tsunami warnings, etc. Okay. So he pushes the warning that obviously has been pre-programmed. Missile alert threat. This is not a drill. You're going to die, basically, type of thing. And people went berserk. Predictably. Right. You get a warning like that on your phone. It's not a drill. There's a missile inbound ballistic. I think it even said ballistic missile inbound. Take cover. Well, the resulting cacophony of shrill hysteria. So predictable. Jamie Lee Curtis, she's an actress. People write lines for her. She performs them. But this is her. This is Jamie Lee Curtis, actually, on Twitter. This Hawaii missile scare. Did you notice how she misspelled missile? Anyway, this Hawaii missile scare is on you, Mr. Trump. I'm doing this to capture where she goes all caps. Okay, so just follow me on this. The real fear is that mothers and fathers and children felt is on you. It is on your arrogance, hubris, narcissism, rage, ego, immaturity, and your unstable idiocy. Shame on your hate-filled self. You did this. Well, I mean, yeah, sure, the alert system is controlled by the state of Hawaii, but of course it's Trump's fault. I saw, and I think I even retweeted it on @SamNation here on Twitter, Jim Carrey. I woke up this morning in Hawaii with 10 minutes to live. Should I read this in the Dumb and Dumber voice? I think that would be the better thing. I woke up in Hawaii with 10 minutes to live. It was a false alarm, but a real psychic warning. If we allow this one man, Gomorrah, and his corrupt Republicans that control Congress to continue alienating the world, we are headed for suffering beyond all imagination. Okay, that was the Jim Carrey tweet. And there are thousands like this. Now, even before I saw the tweets, I said, I know how this is going to play out. Immediately, people are going to freak out. And because, again, the left values emotion over reason, and because they think, they really do, the left really believes that signaling strength and determination to a, you know, okay, whatever he is, a despotic tyrant, that signaling strength is some form that will antagonize him to attack us. So preposterous, right? But because they really believe that, even a warning, well, let's say inadvertent missile alert, is going to trigger all of these fears. Now, Hawaii, I've told you before what I think of Hawaii. I think that most people that go to Hawaii go there and enjoy it totally naively. We go to Hawaii and we go, oh, the beaches and the Mai Tais and all that good stuff. Hawaii is a poo hole, okay, when it comes to politics. Hawaii is a total liberal paradise. And consequently, the state's a disaster, okay? Highest level of taxation, property taxes are through the roof, schools that can't teach the kids anything. I mean, people can barely read and write when they go through high school. You think I'm joking, by the way. Not joking. The guy who works for the government in Hawaii, guarantee you, left of Joseph Stalin, okay? Hates Trump. So I'm telling you right now, this all was so predictable. I can see them thinking, I'm going to press this button just to show people what Trump is playing with, just to people need to realize the real fear of what this terrible president is doing. This is how they think. Trust me. Oh, we'll see. We'll see how this plays out. He was reassigned, but we don't know his name. Man, you make a mistake like that, don't you get your A-money-money fired? So suspicious. Sam Rachofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Sam Rachofsky here from my friend, my lawyer, sweet James Bergner. This is the guy that you call if you've been in an accident, if you've been hit by a car, a truck, a tram, a submarine, I don't know, whatever it is that has injured you, a dog bite perhaps, a giraffe has reached over and nibbled your bum, whatever has happened to you, you've got to give sweet James and his team a call. They're great people. They're standing by 24/7 by these phones, 800-881-2021. If you or a loved one have been hurt, don't try doing it alone. Go with the team that has a proven track record. They're not imposters. They're not Johnny come latelys. They haven't just shown up. They've been doing what they're doing for years, and they've been doing it well. Success, fantastic. I can tell you, $400 million and counting collected in the last 14 or so years that they've been in business. They know what they're doing. They're trustworthy. They'll treat you right. And most importantly, look, they're going to get you the results that you deserve. 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. All consultations are free and easy. And that's all you do. Just give them a call. And also, hey, there's a website, sweetjames.com. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, the king of common sense. I'm rarely wrong, but always right. And as you know, the phone number here on the program, 800-222-5222. Well, I thought I would mention this because you saw the piece in the Wall Street Journal the other day, speaking of Kim Jong-un. And every liberal thinking that Trump is a buffoon, that he doesn't know what he's doing, and that he's going to, you know, get us nuked, right? That's the popular thinking. So there's a piece in the Wall Street Journal, and it was posted everywhere and sent out. Ha 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 ha! Trump thinks that he goes. The headline of the piece ended up being that Trump thinks he's got a very good relationship with Kim Jong Un, and everybody said, "Now, see, exactly, this is it. He's insane." Time to impeach him. Boot him out of there. Well, anyway, Trump yelled fake news, fake news. They, you know, typical thing, right? And everybody, ha, 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 blah, 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 blah. So they pulled the tape. Now, remember, the way the story was written in the Wall Street Journal said that I probably have a very good relationship with Kim Jong-un. That is how Trump was. That is what Trump said, according to the Wall Street Journal. Here's the audio recording. Listen closely.
President Xi has been extremely generous with what he said. I like him a lot. I have a great relationship with him. As you know, I have a great relationship with Prime Minister Abe, Japan. And I probably have a very good relationship with Kim Jong-un of North Korea. I have relationships with people. I think you people are surprised.
Well, it's the tale of the missing D. As in I would probably have a very good relationship with Kim Jong-un. Now, if you don't think that changes the meaning any, you're nuts, okay? I'm sorry, we can't have a conversation. But you see what happened here? The media truly hears what they want to hear when it comes to Trump. And you are buying it. Or you, I mean, speaking to the public in general, not you. You listen to this program, you're well-informed, and you've got a critical mind. But there's people out there buying it. And because they have their own idea. So it's, you know, this is not the blind. This is willful blindness. This is the willfully blind leading the willfully blind. I've said this time and time again. People have this caricature in their minds of who Trump is. And then that's why these crazy tweets go out, right, when like this missile alert thing, that it's false alarm. And Jamie Lee Curtis literally melting down. It was like somebody was, I mean, it was you just nuts. And what I think is, I think that this is terribly damaging. This is egg on the face of Wall Street Journal. I mean, Wall Street Journal is supposed to be a nonpartisan, high quality publication. And this is disastrous. And if I were Trump, I would record every single conversation I have with anybody. I mean, I go full Nixon because his words are always twisted. And so that makes me think that even though I think he probably said, you know, poo hole countries, right? But it makes me think maybe it went down a little bit differently. You've had Republicans in the room who, by the way, have come to his defense, said that's not exactly what he said. So anyway, but people hear what they want to hear. So did Dick Durbin and did Lindsey Graham, who hates Trump, of course, did they hear what they wanted to hear in that meeting? The same way that the Wall Street Journal, you know, misreported what Trump said? Maybe. Definitely food for thought. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. You can't even read anywhere in the news, open any paper right now without predictions of a total election tsunami in favor of the Democrats coming up here in the midterms. And then, of course, you know, Trump's going to get voted out of office in 2020. Well, It comes down for me. I have suspicions that this is nonsense. Now, I'll tell you why. Do you know who Jamie Dimon is? Now, Jamie Dimon, he's the head of J.P. Morgan Chase, big bank. He also is somebody who I suspect is floating the thought of running for office. He hasn't said that exactly. He's been talking a lot about he's a Democrat, certainly. He'd be running as a Democrat. He's been criticizing the field of Democrats out there. But even that aside, he's been talking about the economy. He is predicting 4% U.S. growth. Now, when I was in Utah, I met with a friend who's a hedge funder, used to be in New York and has moved his operation to Utah. And we were talking about the economy. And I was very curious to ask the question about the stock market. There's a lot of predictions that the stock market's going to eventually crash and we're going to, rue the day that we ever elected Trump. And one of the – I got a very interesting response from him. The smart money right now is that things are going well and might even possibly keep getting better. I'm not a stock market guy. This is not my world. I'm not a high finance guy. But people are betting on this presidency with billions of dollars. That's billions with a B. These people are liberals. Many of them are, okay? Democrats, Republicans, conservatives. Money and profit has no political ideology. It's very important. So all the blah, 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 blah on Twitter and on cable news don't mean a hill of beans when people are deciding where to put billions of dollars. Generally speaking, people who operate hedge funds don't want to lose money. Okay? I may shock you with that, but that's how it is. And Dimon, who himself is a big Democrat and everything, he's predicting big growth. And that's why he's positioning himself. He's looking at the Democratic field and says these are all people who are anti-business. He's looking at Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and even, Hillary Clinton. These are people who are anti-business. They have antiquated socialist ideas. I'm paraphrasing, right? And he's right, okay? The buzz on Wall Street is things are good. The buzz on Main Street is things are great. Trump is getting government out of the way. This tax cut is going to is absolutely going to stimulate the economy. And if all that happens, if what I'm saying actually occurs, then guess what? Explain to me how exactly the Democrats are going to run against a president who is improving the lives of the vast majority of Americans. People, if they're doing well, if they are measurably in a better place 1 year than they were the year before, they don't vote for change in that environment. The presidents, incumbents are voted out of office when things aren't going well. That's how that works. Just in the last couple of minutes, indulge me here. Martin Luther King, everybody remembers him, of course, today for being a truly a great man. What do they remember about Martin Luther King? They remember his speeches and movements, really igniting a movement and giving voice to a movement that led to racial equality in this country. That's what matters. Now, Martin Luther King was a flawed man. You know this, right? I mean, for one, it's widely accepted and recognized he plagiarized his doctoral thesis. Even his own university has put an asterisk, in his file. He was a notorious womanizer. This is a documented fact. Again, there he is, a Protestant, a minister, man of God, notorious womanizer. Does it matter? I'm asking. Does it change his legacy? It doesn't, because at the end of the day, his core contribution, right, is what is remembered. So all of this stuff that is brought up about Trump, all of this, all his horrible racism and all this emotion is just noise. If people are doing well, that's what they're going to remember. That's what they're going to care about. And they don't, you know, whether they like him, whether they think he's a pig, whether they think he's even a racist, I don't know. And none of that's going to matter. So don't bank on it, Democrats. All right, we're back tomorrow night at 7. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, over and out.
Sam Nation is brought to you by Attorney Sweet James Bergener.